Tonight we're continuing our series looking at the life of Abraham, entitled Cultivating an Appetite for the Things of God. This time looking at the account of Abraham interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. So let's turn to Genesis 18 and verse 16 to 33 and read the word of God together. Genesis 18, 16 to 33. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death of the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Our series title, Cultivating an Appetite for the Things of God, could not be more appropriate to the topic in hand this evening. We have just read together the first example of an intercessory prayer recorded in the Scriptures, an account that we can learn much from. And I'd like to suggest that one of the main things we can learn from this passage is that to pray effectively, we must indeed cultivate an appetite for the things of God. I'd like to go through this passage and unpack how an appetite for a knowledge of God's purposes and God's person should be absolutely central to our prayer life. The key message can be summed up in one sentence. So if you don't listen to me from here on in, at least remember this. The knowledge of God's purpose and God's person should move us to pray for the salvation of a world under judgment. The knowledge of God's purpose and God's person should move us to pray for the salvation of a world under God's judgment. So let's turn now to our first point for the evening, God's purpose. We must pray with a knowledge of God's purpose. As the Lord himself taught his disciples, prayer is not to get our will done, but so that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer, therefore, must be in accordance with God's will. So if we wish to pray effectively, we must grow in our knowledge of God's purpose, So how do we do this? In verse 17, we read of God deciding to reveal his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah to Abraham. Verse 17 says, "The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?'" In verse 19, we are provided with the reason for this: "For I have chosen him." More literally, we could read that as, "For I have known him." God here is speaking of an intimate friendship with Abraham. God wants to involve Abraham in his plans because he has chosen him and has a relationship with him. Likewise, God wants to involve us, who are chosen by him and have a relationship with him, in his plans also. The Lord could have exacted his judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah without this revelation or appearance to Abraham. Abraham might then have heard or seen of the town's destruction and thought nothing of the Lord's hand in it. But the Lord chose to share his plan with Abraham. Abraham knew that Sodom's destruction was not some accident or natural disaster. It was the direct judgment of a holy God on a people who had spurned him. He knew that it was a warning for people of all time that while God is patient, he will certainly judge all sin. Abraham could rightly interpret the events of his world because he knew the purpose of God. We need to spend time with God, in his word and in prayer, so we too can hear what God is revealing to us. So what does this passage tell us of God's purpose? If we look again at verse 19, we read, "For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him." God's stated reason for sharing his plan with Abraham echoes the covenantal promise of Genesis 12. God's ultimate purpose is that all nations would be blessed through Abraham, especially through the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be Abraham's descendant, as Galatians 3:16 tells us. But if that is God's purpose, why would he destroy the people of Sodom and Gomorrah? How can his purpose of blessing be fulfilled if people are destroyed? God is showing Abraham and us that though he will have some from every tribe and tongue and nation bowing before his throne, it is not his purpose to save every person from judgment. There is a necessary judgment for sin. This portion of God's revealed purpose is as essential for our prayer lives as the knowledge of his great salvation. To pray with a knowledge of God's purpose is to pray that his will be done on earth as in heaven. It is to pray for nations and individuals that God would graciously withhold his judgment until a people be raised up that will give praise to him because they have experienced his blessing through Abraham's descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot pray as we ought until we grasp God's great purpose of glorifying himself in human history, both through his great salvation available to us in the person of Jesus, but also in his judgment. Now let's turn to the second point, God's person. We must pray according to the knowledge of God's person. Abraham knew God. He knew his character and attributes. This is what draws Abraham to come to God. This is what gives him the boldness to bargain with him. This is what guides how he speaks with him. There are three characteristics I'd like to pick out from this passage that can help us in how we approach God in prayer. Firstly, God is gracious. We can draw near to him. We may think on a first reading of this passage that Abraham is the initiator in this scenario, but this is not the case. It is the Lord who raises the subject. It is the Lord who stands before him while the other two men head towards Sodom, giving Abraham the opportunity to draw near to him. We have a gracious God who not only shares his purposes with us, but invites us to join with him in achieving them. He stands waiting for us. He allows us to draw near. Having said all I have said about the importance of praying in God's will, we cannot allow the fear of perhaps not praying in his will to be a barrier for us in speaking to God. Yet, yes, truly effective prayer will be in keeping with God's will, but we aren't perfect, and neither, may I be so bold as to suggest, was Abraham's prayer. In verse 25, Abraham was concerned that if God struck down the righteous along with the wicked, he would look bad in the eyes of the world. The judge of all the earth always does right, no matter how it may seem to sinful men. But even though Abraham's prayer wasn't perfect, God was graciously nudging him along. In the same way, his grace encourages us to come before his throne, knowing that he will receive us as our loving Heavenly Father, even if our prayers aren't perfect. Secondly, God is holy. We must approach him with reverence. Through this passage, we see the humility in which Abraham approaches God. Yes, he is bold enough to bargain with him, but in his bargaining, he is always mindful of who he is speaking to. I, who am but dust and ashes, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. And again, oh, let not the Lord be angry. Today, we rightly emphasize the access we have to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is indeed an amazing truth that we can have direct access to God, that the veil of the curtain has been torn in two, that the one priest is our Lord Jesus Christ. But I don't think that means we are not to be mindful of the fact that we are speaking to Almighty God. We should approach him with a spirit of humility and reverence. True humility, seeing ourselves as absolutely destitute and seeing God as all-sufficient, is the foundation for all true prayer. We don't come to God as competent people who just need a little help. We dare not command God what to do. We come with an awareness of our frailty and desperate need, and with reverence for God's awesome power and holiness, yet with the confidence that because he is gracious, he will hear our prayers. Thirdly, God is merciful and just. We must be balanced in our prayers. Abraham was aware that God is both merciful and that he will spare even the wicked on behalf of a few righteous, but he is also just. He sees and will judge all sin, even those done behind closed doors in every sinful city in this world. The knowledge of God's person tempered Abraham's prayer. Some commentators fault Abraham for stopping at 10, saying that he stopped asking before God stopped giving. But I think that Abraham perhaps sensed that he was at a limit at 10. If he went beyond there, he no longer would be pleading according to God's will. God answered Abraham by rescuing Lot and his family, even though he did destroy Sodom. Abraham's prayer was balanced by his understanding of God's mercy and justice. So to summarize, we've looked at how having God's purpose and God's person in mind informed Abraham's prayer. And what was the end result for Abraham? He prayed for salvation. A few years earlier, back in Genesis 14, Abraham had rescued his nephew Lot, along with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, after they had been taken captive by some warring kings. He had returned all their goods to them. It would have been easy for Abraham to see himself as better than those ungrateful, sinful pagans, and to say, they should have learned a lesson. They deserve God's judgment. But there is no hint of such an attitude. Abraham humbly prayed as a sinner on behalf of other sinners, that they might be spared from God's righteous but terrible judgment. The great mystery of why or how God works out his eternal plan in cooperation with the prayers of his saints is certainly beyond my understanding, but he does. Knowing God's purpose, to call out a people for himself from every nation, and knowing God's person, that he is both merciful and just, we, who have experienced his mercy, have the privilege of praying for a lost world. Someday, we may have the joy of meeting in heaven those who were delivered from God's judgment through our prayers. What could be more joyous than that? Now, as we move into a time of open sharing, shall we start that by singing, "Here is love, vast as the ocean"?